This conference is being recorded.
Om Jnanati Miranasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Madatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Krupasnabevacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I offer my obeisances to all the devotees who are on the call today. I'm so happy and excited to be connected with you. Even though it's at a distance, somehow we're using this technology to be together to talk about Krishna and his devotees. And Krishna manifests himself in this material world in many different ways, and some of those ways are considered by the Shastra to be more profound than others. And one of the most profound ways that Krishna manifests himself to us in this world is through the Vaishnavas. And this was brought out in the Srimad Bhagavatam when Yudhishthira Maharaj spoke to Vidura before he went on pilgrimage. And he said, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Bibo Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantak Stena Gadabrita. He said that you are a holy place personified. You're a Tirtha yourself because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. Krishna is fully manifest in the heart of the pure devotee. Sarvo hridyam mayam sarunam hridyam toham maranyatena jarati. Krishna told this to Durvasa Muni when Durvasa had offended Ambarish Maharaj. He came ultimately to Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha for shelter to try to get away from the Sudarshan Chakra, who was chasing him, burning him from behind. And when he approached Vishnu and he said, that, please give me shelter, the Lord himself said, I'm in the heart of the Vaishnavas, and they are in my heart. And he told him, you have to go take shelter of the Vaishnav, because you've offended him. I can't help you. You first go take shelter of Ambarish Maharaj's lotus feet and beg forgiveness. And he said, I never forget the devotees, even for a second, and they never ever forget me. There's such an intimate relationship. So Krishna is literally within the heart of the Vaishnavas. And therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj said to Vidura that you are a walking place of pilgrimage. Normally, people go to the holy places like the Ganga to relieve themselves of their sins. Naturally, icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata, we're born into the world affected in so many ways, and we become affected more by different kinds of association and sinful activities, which even in the best of circumstances are are inherent in our very activities. Just by moving about the world, we commit sins. What to speak of if we become associated with the lower modes of nature like Rajogun and Tamogun, then we can adogachanti tamasa. And Krishna says we become dragged down into the abominable modes. But people, sometimes they go to the holy places to purify themselves by bathing in the Ganga. And it's said that they leave their sinful activities there and they accumulate. But when a Vaishnava goes to those places to worship the Lord, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he actually didn't go to the Ganga in the daytime because he was so disturbed when he saw people going and bathing in the Ganga with washing their hair and then spitting in the Ganga and things like that. He disturbed his mind so much. He would only go at night when no one was there to bathe in the Ganga himself and worship her. And devotees, Vaishnavas, when they go to these holy places, they actually purify even the holy places by their presence. They're so powerful. Their association is so powerful. And Krishna himself exalts the devotees. How dear are the devotees? Devotee means, of course, different gradations. There are different levels of devotees discussed in the Shastra. But all of them are dear to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya first told one who asked him what is a Vaishnava, that it's someone who just chants Hare Krishna. Anyone who says Hare Krishna, they're the best out of all the population. And then later he said that someone who's constantly chanting Hare Krishna, that person is a Madhyamadikari. And that person whom others, when they see him or her, they also start chanting Hare Krishna because that person is emanating the power of Krishna so much that other people, when they see that devotee, become inspired to chant Hare Krishna. That's the topmost devotee. But all those devotees, gradations of devotees, are very dear to Krishna. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, he makes this astounding statement. It's api chet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha. He says that anyone who's engaged in devotional service to me, even if they commit the most abominable activity, that person is to be considered saintly. And he makes a very strong statement, sadureva samantavyag, that you must do this, you must consider like this. This is Krishna's partiality to his devotees. It's not a fault, it's an ornament, actually, that the Lord, and it's natural, that the Lord is specifically equal to everyone. Very, very much so, he's partial to his devotees, those who are surrendering to him. He takes as very dear. And in the next verse, Sri Pram Pavati Dharmatma Shashvash Chantim Nagachati Kontiya Prajijani Hiname Bhaktya Pranashati, saying, my bhakti will never be vanquished. Declare it boldly, Arjuna, that my devotee will never be vanquished. So, one thing is, the association of devotees, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teaching to Sanatana Goswami says, is the beginning of all our spiritual life, and it is also the sustenance of our spiritual life, and even in the most advanced stages of devotional service, it is what is the life-giving force for our continued advancement in devotional service, association with devotees, sadhu sangha. So even those who are wandering in the material world, Mahaprabhu said, who have no clue about devotional service. This is the mass of people. Tatvavittu mahabaho, tribir gunamayir bhavir evam evi sarvam idam jagat. Mohitam nabijanati mame bhya paramavyayam. Everyone who's come to this material world is deluded by the three modes of material nature. They're in ignorance. But how do they come out of that? Not automatically, Mahaprabhu said. It's not swata. They don't come out of it just automatically in due course of time. They come out of it because of sadhu sangha. When a person wandering in the material world gets the opportunity to associate with a devotee. That person gets a gyata sukriti. It means that they get some capital, some actual wealth of devotional service. And that comes about even unknowingly if one associates with devotees, who comes in contact, does some service for devotees. Then they get some capital. And Prabhupada described it that every living entity has a bank account in their heart. And that every time we come in contact with devotees, then we're able to make a deposit in that bank account. And at first, that agyata sukriti means even unknowingly it's accumulating. And when we have enough capital in that bank account, then shraddha, faith is born. Faith means in the beginning that there's a inclination that I should also be a devotee. I want to perform something the way the devotees are doing. So Rupa Goswami says, adau shraddha tata sadasangata bhajana kriya tato narta niviti satato nishta ruchistata. He describes how this is the beginning of spiritual life, shraddha. And what does shraddha mean? Srut means the heart, and da is an active verb which means to place. So it really means where we place our heart. Everyone's placing their heart somewhere. They're inclined to some kind of activity. Why? Because of their previous association. That's what Krishna says. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. All of our good and bad positions in this material world, and we do achieve good and bad, up and down, up and down. It's like a Ferris wheel. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. All those are attained because of our association with the modes of material nature. But by sadhu sangha, this is what actually takes us beyond the three modes of material nature. And that association with devotees brings us to this point of shraddha. And so shraddha means where we place our heart. The definition, shraddha shabde vishash kahi surida nishchoy krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy, means that shraddha means that one begins to feel that the greatest benefit I will get in my life comes from performing bhakti. Most people, I mean everyone, fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, description that everyone comes to the material world for some kind of benefit. It's like a merchant. He goes to the forest to find some wealth, and he gets lost, and he becomes beleaguered in that forest and starving and being bitten by insects and stalked by animals. It's a horrible condition. But he's looking for some profit. But the real profit comes to one who gets the association of devotees who are carrying the Supreme Personality of God within their heart. And then this shraddha is born. And this shraddha is evidenced by a person's feeling that I will actually get something good from performing bhakti. And as it increases, yadrishi yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhaviti tadrishi, as we're increasing our faith more and more, coming towards perfection, the feeling becomes more and more intense that the only thing that matters is bhakti. And that by doing bhakti, everything else will be attained. In fact, nothing else, everything comes from bhakti. Just by performing devotional service, I will get everything. So this is what it means. And that comes from, that's called good fortune. That comes from devotees. They distribute good fortune. And that's their prerogative. That's their business in this world only, is to give out that spiritual capital so others can get it and take advantage of it. So as soon as one gets the association of devotees, adau shraddha tata sadusanga, as soon as one gets faith, little faith from agyata sukriti, then there is a feeling that I want to associate with devotees, and the person begins to associate with devotees. And from that, Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami, what does one get when one meets a bona fide devotee. He gets instructions and mantras. It's like when one's very ill and he doesn't know how to cure himself, but then he meets a medical person. And the medical person says, oh, I know just what you have, and I know just what to give you. And in the form of medicine, the advanced devotees, they also give this advice. Advice they give, and they also give medicine in the form of mantra. So they give the mantra and they say, here's how to chant it, here's what to do. So this is the beginning of the bhajana kriya life, which means that one now has something to do and the progressive path of devotional service, coming out of the negative numbers of the material world, like on a number line. The negative numbers, it looks like we're making advancement, going from 2 to 3 to 4, but it's negative. It's like borrowing money from the bank and thinking that I'm really advancing, but you don't understand. You're going to have to pay it all back. You're burdening yourself with greater and greater debt. And those who are nihilists, they come to the point of zero because they understand the fact that the material world is a place of debt. So they try to stop activity. Instead of moving in the negative numbers, they come to zero. But the devotees, when they get association with sadhus, or the living entities who get association with sadhus, whether they're negative numbers or at zero, then their life of positive numbers begins. And they're able to enter into the life of bhajana kriya, bhaj, which means to worship Krishna. Yes, twindra gopa matavendra mahosa karma bandhanu rupa palabhajana matanoti karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma, in his prayers to the Lord, Govinda says that everyone from Indra down to the Indra Gopa germ, it means from highest to lowest in the material world, all are being influenced by their previous karmas. Practically, they're being washed away like with a tidal wave. They're being moved by that karma. They can't get out of it. Unless one engages in bhakti bhajan, for that person, the karma is being erased. It's going away. And this is the life of bhakti bhajan. What a glorious life that is. It's joyful. When comes into that life of bhajana kriya, he has something to do in positive numbers. Everything he does is positive now. What a relief coming out of negative numbers, that everything you do is negative. You think you're going ahead, but you're actually making a retrograde effort that's making you're digging into a hole. There's an old saying, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. So the devotees, they know how to get out of that hole, and they know how to take others out of that hole. And that's the significance of this sadhu sangha, actually associating with devotees. They can give the instruction, and they give the mantra. And by that, we begin the bhajana kriya life. And then comes the perfection of the mantra, which means going on even through the stages of unsteadiness in devotional service, in association of devotees. We get much help. Because in any realm, if you're in the realm of investing, there's the New York Stock Exchange. So people come together so they can associate. I just spoke with one devotee lawyer yesterday at the Rath Yatra, and he was saying how there's these big associations of attorneys. They get together for high-level talks about the law and refinement of, you know, points and logic about different legal systems and new laws that have come in. And he said, you can't believe the intricacies of conversation that go on in these realms of people who are fully dedicated to the law. And they get fortification from that kind of association. So similarly, those who come into the life of devotional service, who want to perfect the mantra, they realize that I'm just beginning and there's real wealth in this. Now I'm in positive numbers. Now they want more and more help. So they hanker for the association of devotees. And they, in that association, tadati pratigrinati kuyam akyati prichati bhunkte bhojayate chaiva shadvidam pratilakshanam. There's an exchange between, there's a society where there's exchanges between devotees, where they give gifts, accept gifts, where they speak about realizations and they hear other people's realizations, and they eat together. They give food, they give prasadam, they accept prasadam. These are all the things that go on in normal society, only these are in the realm of the positive numbers of devotional service. And all these things help us to advance in the association of devotees, to become more and more attached to devotees. This is a very important thing. Narottam Das Thakur, in one of his bhajans, says something very profound. Ram Chandra Sangamage Narottama Das. He's saying that about his friend Ramachandra, his Vaishnava friend. He's so attached to him that he's saying, I always hanker and beg for the association of Ramachandra. And when Ramachandra left the world, Narottam Das could no longer live. He left just after Ramachandra left because he couldn't bear it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring from Ramananda Roy about different aspects of devotional service, he asked him, "What is the greatest suffering in this world?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy said, "I know of only one kind of suffering, and that is separation from the Vaishnavas. If one becomes separated from the devotees, that is the only suffering in this world. Otherwise, we can live in heaven or hell. If we're with devotees and we have the shelter of a devotee, we can go to hell." I remember when Prabhupada was challenged once when he was giving a talk, and somebody said, "Oh, well, you know, why don't you go to the Muslim countries? If your devotional service is so powerful, why don't you preach in the Muslim countries?" So Prabhupada said, "We will." And he sent out a telegram right after that to Brahmananda Gargamuni, said, "Go to Pakistan." And in those days, when Prabhupada said anything, everyone just, whatever instruction they got, they'd pack their bag and start leaving 5 minutes later. So by the time Prabhupada found out there was a huge turmoil going on in Pakistan, and he tried to call them back, they were already on their way. And there was no internet then. It was very hard to communicate when somebody was already traveling. So they went into Pakistan to preach, and they were maligned and they were beaten, and so many things happened to them there. Of course, they survived and came back. But they didn't mind it at all because they were under the shelter of Vaishnava. Vaishnava said, "Go to Pakistan," and they said, "We're going to Pakistan." I mean, who cares? If you're under the order and instruction of a Vaishnava, who cares where you live? You're happy. You have shelter. You have bhajana kriya. You have positive activity to do, which is taking you back to Godhead. And this is a real wealth in life, to get a shelter of a Vaishnava, to be under the care of somebody of significance in devotional service. That means good fortune, and that means that you're protected, and that means we don't care where we live in any circumstance, heaven or hell. If we're in the most opulent setting but we don't have the association of devotees, it is hell for the devotee. And if we're in the worst of circumstances but we have association of Vaishnavas, or we're carrying out the order of a Vaishnav, we're in heaven. This is the feeling of the devotees. So Ram Chandra Sangamage Narottama Das. Narottam says, "I always hanker for the association of my dear God brother Ram Chandra." And you know, this is very important. Guya Maketi Prichiti. We should have association with devotees, some devotees who we feel very close to, who we can go to and tell them how we're doing in devotional service, inquire from them, and reveal our heart. Mostly no one wants to reveal their heart in this world. They keep it hidden. They want to, you know, show outwardly that I'm like this or I'm like that, but in their heart they might hide something else. It's a very painful situation. But if we have some intimate devotee that we can associate with, or a devotee we can associate with in a very intimate way and discuss what's in our heart and bring these things out truthfully, then the purification process happens in a very quick way. And we're able to make advancement by freeing ourselves from anartas that we keep within our hearts. So getting association with devotees is the key to spiritual life. And there's also etiquette while associating with devotees. Rupa Goswami has given a clear directive in the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita, this Nectar of Instruction given to us by our great Acharya. We are Rupa Nugas. We follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. He's kindly given us this book, the Upadeshamrita. And if we follow his instructions, Upadeshamrita, surely we'll get all perfection in life. Srila Prabhupada gave us that book. It is a treasure. We should make sure that we have that book, that we keep that book, we read that book every day, and we meditate on it, how to follow the instructions of Rupa Goswami. Then we're also under the shelter of a great devotee. So there he says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranati bishcha bachantamisham shushushaya bhajana vignamananyamanya nindari shunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. That there are different kinds of Vaishnavas and we should associate properly with them. He says, if someone is inclined towards Krishna consciousness or they just say Hare Krishna, then in our mind we should offer obeisances to them. We should know that from Shastra, Aho patashva pachato gatiyan yajibha grevartate namatupyam te pusta paste juhuvu shasna arya brahmanachur nama granantiyete. Yete. This was the exaltation of Devahuti when she said to Lord Kapila Deva, how wonderful it is that anyone, even if they're a dog eater, from the lowest class, affected by the lowest modes of material nature, if they say Hare Krishna, it's such an exalted thing to say Hare Krishna, even with the tip of one's tongue, that person is considered to have taken all holy baths, been to all the holy places, undergone all reformation through the purification processes of the Vedas, and is a worshipable person. So Rupa Goswami says same thing. If someone says Hare Krishna, we should worship them in our mind. We should offer obeisances to them. That this person is extraordinary, that they can say Hare Krishna. Then he says, among those people who say Hare Krishna, who appreciate Hare Krishna, if someone takes to this life of bhajana kriya, means they take a stand and against the senses. The senses tell us go here, there, and everywhere. It's the life of whimsical living. Whatever the senses say, I do. But in the regulated life of devotional service, bhajana kriya, I take a stand. My intelligence is awakened, and I understand it's me against the senses. Vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropasta vegam, hitan vegam, yo vishaheta dhira, sarvam apimas, apritivim nasishyat. Now I'm going to become regulated in devotional service. I'm taking this bhajana kriya. That person comes forward and they begin the life of regulated devotional service. They take initiation from a Vaishnava guru and they begin chanting in a regulated way. And they've taken a stand in front of everyone. They're saying, I'm doing this. I'm moving up. I'm gonna regulate myself and I'm publicly declaring it. I'm saying it before the guru, before the fire, before the Vaishnavas, before the deities that I'm going to do a minimum number of rounds every day, these things. That person, one should get down on the ground and bow down to such a person, Rupa Goswami says. That person should be worshipped with one's body by putting one's head on the ground. Such a person is so rare in this world that they take a stand. A lot of people know about it, but when someone says, okay, I'm doing it, and I'm going to make it public that I'm doing it. That person we should worship with our head on the ground. And then he says, those who continue in that path and they become advanced by their steady practice means that one has to go through the unsteady practice first. There's no way around it. you start anything, you become initiated into anything, you're going to, in the beginning, have to go through an unsteady aspect. And from there, one comes to the steady stage and then advanced stages of devotional service. And those who have become very advanced, Rupa Goswami says, what are some of the symptoms? Listen to this. Nindari shunya, pridimipsita sangalabhya. The person in whose heart the propensity to criticize others in a malicious way has become cleansed. It's no longer there, that tendency. We can judge ourselves and check ourselves if that tendency's there and see that biting, that little snake who lives there, who when someone else is glorified, that little snake says, ha, what about me? who wants to criticize others rather than glorify them. It's such a powerful thing to glorify devotees. Mahaprabhu said it's amrita. It's like drinking a beverage that makes you immortal. It's such a tasty thing. Recently I saw on the Dandavats website a devotee named Patita Pavana. He's an old devotee. He's a great writer, too. His article's on there. There's one he just wrote about Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who passed away some years ago, 1996. And he wrote one about Indradyumna Maharaj. And just from top to bottom, he just glorified them and their activities and how they preach and who they are. And it's so nice to read these things when devotees, with their full heart and intention, are glorifying devotees. It's a relief because there's so much criticism nowadays. Everyone finding little faults, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. But when the glorification comes out, then everyone feels this relief that, yes, glorifying devotees, it opens the floodgates of the heart, and one feels satisfied. Mahaprabhu approved this. He said for those who are critical, this is the way to rectify themselves, is to turn around their power of speech, to use it to glorify the devotees. Turn your pen around and use it to glorify the devotees. Then you'll feel satisfied and happy. So, nindari shunya, ninda, finding little faults, nitpicking at the devotees. This is a cause for staying our devotional service. It holds us back. There's no entry into the deeper topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam unless one becomes free from this propensity. And even if one is in the lowest position of life and feels one's and is really downtrodden, but has an intention in one's heart to glorify those who are more advanced, then that lifts one up. This is called grinati, shinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Queen Kunti said, this act of appreciation, of gratitude towards others who are more advanced and who are doing something better than I could do, if one develops this in one's heart, that I'm appreciating others' devotional service, you become lifted by that. In fact, you get what they're getting by appreciation. You can be across the world, but if you see someone doing devotional service in an exemplary way and you appreciate it in your heart, you rise to the same platform that person is in. This is the power of this grinati, of appreciation. Opposite, ninda. If there's some criticism going on from the speech and the mind, it's like a little wasp biting, and it's such a hindrance to devotional service. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he had a policy. He never criticized devotees. And if someone else did, he'd disappear. He just didn't take part in it. And this is in the association with devotees. Of course, in any society, there is all kinds of social intercourse in which there'll be ups and downs and difficult situations to deal with, especially if one's a manager. So it doesn't mean that we have to turn a blind eye if someone's abusing devotees or doing something which needs to be corrected. But it does mean to be sure that we're always doing it in a way that's not pernicious. If we think, what's the best thing for this person's advancement in devotional service, no matter who they are, then we're on the right track. If we think, whatever activity we do, what's the best way to serve the devotees by doing this, then we're safe. We're on the safe side. If we're always thinking, what's the best thing to serve the devotees, whether if we're building a community, there are many different projects that may come up. If I put money over the devotees and think, well, how can I make money? Then I might crush some devotee along the way. I might step on a devotee on the way because my priority in my mind and my heart is to make money. Then there's danger. If I think, what's the best way to serve the devotees? And in the course of that, I make, you know, things, buildings get built, money comes in, then I'm okay because my mission is to serve the devotees, to make sure that they're being satisfied. Then Krishna is pleased also, and everything goes on nicely. So, nindadi shunya, in all aspects of our life, we should see that we're not letting these wasps into our house. If a snake comes into your house, you come into your house at night, and just before you close the door, a snake comes in and goes under the couch, you won't leave him there. You'll call the fiends to make sure that that snake goes out of your house before you go to sleep. So similarly, this ninda, or this tendency to criticize devotees, it has to be purified, and we can't leave it. Don't let it stay. And also, don't associate with those who have it, because it's infectious. And this is one of the keys to devotional service. That's why the exalted quality of a devotee is mentioned as nindadi shunya, ridamipsita. He's free from that. Shunya, no more ninda, no more pernicious criticism of other devotees. Such a person, that person's association, Rupa Goswami, should be sought with alacrity. You should chase after it. You should get it wherever you can, because that will have the greatest effect in your life, to associate with somebody who has that nindadi shunya and who's decided beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's not a shadow of doubt left in his or her mind that the path to happiness in life is through bhakti alone. There's nothing else. They're firmly situated in faith. And these gradations of devotees, the lowest, called the Kanishta Adhikari, and then the Madhyama Adhikari and the Uttama Adhikari, these are judged by the quality of their faith. First of all, the lowest of devotees, the Kanishta Adhikari, is called a Bhakta Praya. They're kind of like a bhakta. They're just beginning, so they're kind of like a bhakta, and they're starting off, and their faith is called komal. It's very tender. But then when one comes to the middle position, the Madhyama Adhikari, means that the faith is strong. It's become very strong, but that person doesn't have their logic refined. They can't explain it to others exactly. They can't convince others through logic and argument and also support with shastra how they feel about their faith. But the topmost devotee is someone who has this firm faith that the purpose of life and all wealth and all progress in life comes about through bhakti, and also can back it up with logic, reasoning, and shastra. That person is considered to be in the topmost position of devotional service. And we should associate accordingly as per the instructions of Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Instruction. So those are some initial thoughts about association with devotees and the power of sadhu sangha. And now I'd like to see if there are any questions.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is Nandadalal. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Please accept mine. Hare Krishna.
It was really something that I have to reveal to you. I just morning I read the Nectar of Instructions, the 11 verses.
Yes.
And you have reiterated in the whole 11 verses, you know, as if, you know, you read the mind.
Nice. Oh, that's good.
So my question is, I'm just telling you now one thing that, you know, give me your thought that in Bengali, you know, we tell, you know, sadhu sanga sarvashastre koy, lobo matra sadhu sanga sarvashiddhi hoy. Means in a moment of association of a devotee gets in your perfection. So what that thing, you know, compared to, you know, the association of devotees that others, you know, that you discussed?
What is that? You mean how you get at that advancement in within a lava matra?
Yes, because that lava means in 1/8 of a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a very profound thing that happens when one associates with devotees. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. Experiences where I've felt this lava matra. Once when I was in Varshana, and I was waiting for the Didi doors to open, and the devotees, the Vrajavasis, were crowding into the temple room to see the Didi, and when the door opened, the bell rang, and the door opened quite quickly. And I wasn't ready for it. I hadn't been to that darshan before. And then the doors opened, and the devotees that had come there, vocals were so enthusiastic that practically there were elbows flying, and I practically got slammed by the enthusiasm of the devotees. And the shock that I felt in my body when all the devotees had jumped forward to get a closer look at the deity, I felt it, really, that enthusiasm of the devotees. Within just a fraction of a second, I realized that all their enthusiasm and all their focus was going for the deity, and that really it was visceral. I could feel it in my body and mind that enthusiasm had been transferred to me also. Like, I felt it in their association. And so, you know, the glance of a devotee, approving glance, or just seeing how a devotee's engaged in devotional service in an enthusiastic way, this can bring up one's consciousness immeasurably, just within a second, seeing how someone else is performing devotional service. It doesn't even require that you're there for, you know, long period of time, but just by seeing it, just by glimpsing it, it's so powerful that that mood of how someone's doing some service can enter within your heart. You can feel it when someone's very serious, and when they're engaged in such a way, it actually transfers, even in the blink of an eye. That's why that verse is there.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Another question?
Yes. This is Devaprastha.
Hare Krishna, Devaprastha. My obeisances to you. Hare Krishna.
So, two things. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you very much for your association, hearing the benefits of Vaishnava Sangha. I'm feeling very grateful for these conference calls, and I'd like to thank Loka Daksha for arranging them and yourself for taking the time to give us your association.
Thanks for allowing me. I'm very happy to be here.
And secondly, feeling very satisfied from this, I find myself wanting to ask how we can get more of your association. My question.
Well,
Hello?
Hello? Devaprastha, we'll just have to figure it out. I mean, for my own purification benefit, we can figure out some times when we can be together more. What else can I say?
Okay, that helps.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, this is Ganesan here. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
See, in southern India, in some of, you know, you are kind of telling about the experience you had when the temple doors were opened, and then, like, you know, people, the force, you could feel it. But I have seen in some of the temples, you know, like, you know, if you are on their way, you can get trampled.
Yeah. We were talking about this yesterday. I went to Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra.
And sometimes I feel like, you know, kind of if people, you know, I could not understand that, you know, that you know, kind of there are people around and then, you know, kind of allowing another devotee before you would be a great service. But, you know, people, they cannot see the person standing before him, before them. So I used to feel kind of, you know, is it a crowd or, you know?
Well, let me put it to you like this, from the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to stand back by the Garuda Stambha because the first time he went into the Jagannath temple, he lost his consciousness. He ran towards the deity because he was so attracted. And then he lost consciousness. And then, of course, he was brought to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And from then on, he vowed that he would only stay at the back of the temple by the Garuda Stambha to have darshan. So one day, he was standing there, and this woman came into the temple, and she was so enthusiastic to see Lord Jagannath that she lost a consciousness of her environment, and she climbed up the Garuda Stambha and put her foot on the shoulder of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so she could have a better darshan. And Mahaprabhu's servant chastised her and said, get down, you're standing on the Garuda Stambha, and on the Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing here and you're walking on him. And then when Mahaprabhu realized what had happened, he chastised his servant. And he said, you're a low-class person to chastise her. He said, I wish I had the same kind of enthusiasm that this woman had, that she would lose her understanding and climb up on my shoulders. I wish I had the same kind of enthusiasm. Of course, that's not a license to disregard the devotees. We should be very careful. In fact, you know, we have this custom, if we bump into a devotee, then, you know, we make that motion where we touch our head and we apologize, you know, because we realize we're around sacred, living entities who are very dear to Krishna, and we're very careful about that. And also when we walk through a crowd, we should make sure not to step on or over devotees, seeing their bodies as temples of the Lord. But in some circumstances, like the one I mentioned with Mahaprabhu, we should interpret somebody's enthusiasm correctly and see that, you know, they're going to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead with such enthusiasm, and we can feel it like that. Of course, it always requires some discrimination, you know, and seeing. Because sometimes in Mayapur, I remember in the early days, sometimes people would get... The locals would get intoxicated, so some young people, they'd come in, and, you know, they would dance in such a way that it was actually disturbing to others. And in fact, one time, when all of us were with Prabhupada in Mayapur, and the devotees took to this really demonstrative dancing, where they were swinging around, banging into each other, and Prabhupada stopped the kirtan, and he said, this is not nice. He didn't like it at all. So, one, you know, you should also be able to discriminate between the mood. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bom.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is Sumina here.
Hare Krishna, Sumina.
I have a question on behalf of Deepak. He can hear you.
Hare Bom, Deepak.
his question is, why is it difficult to associate with devotees at different places? Is it normal, or is it not trying enough, or is it an offense to Krishna consciousness?
Can you say it again one more time? What's the question?
The question is, why is it difficult to associate with devotees at different places?
Why is it difficult?
Yeah, sometimes it is difficult to associate with some devotees, sometimes it is easy. So is it an offense, or is it not just trying enough?
Well, the thing is, Mahaprabhu mentions this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we should associate with like-minded devotees. So the spiritual world is an unlimited place, and there are unlimited devotees, and they have unlimited moods. And there are certain ways that we fit in. We fit in perfectly with certain devotees and in certain moods. Of course, everywhere we go, we should attempt to fit in with the devotees and to associate with the devotees in a way that we can take benefit. And this is one of the great arts of devotional service is being able to take advantage of association wherever we go. Because I may have certain likes or dislikes, but, you know, Vaishnavas are Vaishnavas everywhere you go, and their association is rare and it's very valuable. So wherever I go, I should take advantage of the association as much as possible by being humble, by offering service. This is a way to enter into association, is by serving. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya uparakshanti de jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. If I go as an open vessel before the devotees and I offer myself with some service and in a mood of inquiry, you know, what can I learn from you? You can get something wonderful from all kinds of devotee association. And so we should always be in that mood. But we also have our home, you know, a place that feels like home, where the devotees, there are special dear devotees who we feel very close to. Like I was speaking before, out of all the association of devotees that we may have a short list also in our heart and mind. I can tell you that I do. There are certain godbrothers that I have that I'm so close with. I tell you that the one experience I had once, I was in Prabhupada Samadhi in Vrindavan during Kartik, and I was sitting next to one godbrother who I'm very close to, and we were chanting japa early in the morning in the Brahma Muhurta, and I began to feel separation from him, even though I was sitting next to him, because I was thinking in my mind, if he ever left the planet before I did, I was wondering how I would survive. I was thinking, you know, how will I live? And while I was chanting, I was feeling separation from him. And there are others like that too, that I have that feeling for. They're very close. And so there are gradations of association. You know, everywhere you go, it's very nice, but you may go somewhere and feel that, well, this is wonderful, but it's not exactly my place. You know, I don't fit in here. You should try to fit in through service, through association, but maybe, you know, there is a very special place where you have like-minded association, or you have association with one or two or three devotees who are very close to you, who understand you, who, you know, have taken as their life and soul to take care of you specifically, maybe. So there's, you know, there's variety in the spiritual world. It's not one size fits all. Because we're unique, and devotees are unique, and all places are unique. All the different holy dhams, there's perfect, more perfect, most perfect. You know, even within perfection, even within the positive numbers, there are various gradations of perfection. And actually, for those who are who find their place in devotional service and their association, that's the most perfect. It's not that one is higher or lower when one finds that kind of association. So in summary, even though I gave a long-winded answer, we should, wherever we go, wherever we are, we should enter into the association of devotees through seva, rendering service, inquiring submissively, observing the etiquette that I explained from Rupa Goswami, how to act towards different devotees. And sometimes over time, that kind of association, it grows on us, especially when we get some service. I see people come to our temple here, and at first, you know, the first day they're there, they're looking around to see how they fit in. And then after, you know, some time, maybe quickly, and maybe sometimes it takes a while, they get some service. And once they feel they get their service there and they have something to connect them, then they start to associate with devotees in a deeper way and come closer. So the answer is that there are varieties, and some places may appeal to you more than other places. It will be like that, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any last question?
Prabhu, this is Padmamalini.
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Prabhu. Can I ask a question from the last time?
Okay.
Okay, I didn't get a chance. It was on deity worship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was... you know, wanted to thank you so much for all the charts and instruction on how to read. It's really nice when a new person comes that we can kind of clearly give them some guidelines as to how to proceed. So I was thinking, I was wondering kind of about the same thing about deity worship, that sometimes people will get a little overwhelmed with worshiping a deity or worshiping a picture because they kind of don't know where to start and they feel like they should do more. Do you have any kind of a step-by-step process like you do with reading Prabhupada's books for deity worship?
Yeah, but I don't have it in like a little chart that I can send you immediately. We're doing deity worship classes here, even for new devotees, because Prabhupada wanted everyone to learn how to worship the deity. It's as we're speaking in this series of things, the 5 out of 64 of the most important is deity worship. Deity worship, there's an Archana Paddhati, which is a summary of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is an extensive writing by Sanatana Goswami, which was specifically ordered by Mahaprabhu himself. He asked Sanatana Goswami to compile the Hari Bhakti Vilas to tell everything about Vaishnava etiquette, and that includes everything about deity worship. Following that, to the detail would be rather impossible in this day and age, but there is the Archana Paddhati. Now, the Archana Paddhati also comes in various versions. Early on, Jayatirtha, it was 1975, on Prabhupada's order, he put together Archana Paddhati, and he brought it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada approved it. There were some mistakes in it, and it's also hard to read, and it's also not available anymore unless you get it on there's a PDF file you can get it on. But it's, then there have been other attempts. Then there's the Pancharatra Padip, which Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu put together, which is a little encyclopedic also, but it's got procedure in there. And then there is another Archana Paddhati that I think Gaurakeshava Prabhu put out. So there's a number of books, and what I'm getting at really is that the process of deity worship really requires a little guidance. It's good if you learn it under somebody who's got the process down and understands the philosophy behind it and can teach it, because it's it can sometimes, approaching the more complex kind of deity worship, as you're talking about, you want to increase or something like that, it's important to go step by step and understand why you're doing certain things, why you're offering in a certain order, what's the philosophy behind it, what did Prabhupada say about deity worship and stuff. So in a chart, like page by page, via stage, page by page, and things like that, we don't have anything specifically like that, but we're working on creating those things, at least for our devotees out here where we're teaching the classes. Was that a confusing enough answer for you?
There is
a process. There is a correct process for devotion, for worshiping the deity, and it should be learned through following somebody who knows the process and through following the Shastra step by step. It's good if one can take a class on it or something like that. And anything that I put together that we're doing out here, I'll gladly send to you.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Really appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome. Thank you.
Vaisheshika Prabhu, please forgive me for asking. I heard that John Universe Prabhu, particularly Panchangi Prabhu, they are running in Mayapur, the how to worship deities and classes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Are they putting it out as a video?
I don't know. I don't know if they're putting it out as a video. I'd be surprised if they weren't, if someone wasn't recording it somewhere, the way things go nowadays. But I don't know for the answer to that for sure.
So that would be easy, to put it in YouTube and then everybody can share.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good way to go. If I hear anything, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Sounds like everyone's interested in doing more with deity worship. And there's unlimited things that you can do there. Loka?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is Vidarbha here.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We're waiting for you to come here so that we can have a deity worship seminar next time.
Okay. Next time I come, let's do that.
Yes,
it would be nice.
I have a question from Sumina. From Meeta. She's not here, but she wanted me to ask you this question. Her question was that, let me see if I can put it right, that sometimes she finds that it's easier to perform austerities and put in so much effort in serving Krishna, but when it's somebody else, like maybe parents, in-laws, relatives, and there is a certain amount of resistance in the heart because, you know, like you do so much and you feel like, okay, I don't want to go beyond this, or maybe there is a certain amount of resentment while performing that service. But when it's trying to serve God, then the heart is more open. So she was wondering if in the first case it's because when you're serving God, you know that you're going to receive blessings and mercy, and so there is an element of perhaps some selfishness, but perhaps when you're serving relatives or family members, then there is a sense of maybe not so much affection, but more like a duty, and maybe there is, instead of getting mercy, maybe there is some negative reciprocation, so it's harder. So is that being selfish? Is that a form of selfishness?
Worshipping
God.
What was that?
So her question was that, is worshipping God in that sense a form of selfishness?
Well, go back to what I said before, and that is that one should, if one considers the best service to the devotees while one's doing whatever service one's doing, then one will be properly situated. And, working around and being with relatives sometimes is tricky because there's a lot of feelings, like sometimes when someone becomes, like in the West, someone becomes a devotee, or even from India, someone joins ISKCON or something like that and then tries to explain it to their parents or something, then a lot of times there's resistance from a mother or father. They're like, what are you trying to tell me anything? You know, I'm your mom, I'm your dad, you know, don't tell me, I'll tell you. And so those relationships can be a little tricky as far as, you know, the relationship in devotional service. However, if we see also that our parents and our relatives are also devotees, or that they have the potential to be a devotee, then we should act in such a way that to benefit them in the best way we can, and understand that the effect will be there. And in the way we associate with anyone, as preachers, if someone's a preacher, the Shastra says, Ishvare tada dineshu bali sheshu dusatsucha prema maitri kipopeksha yakaroti samadhyamah, that the preacher madhyamadikari devotee should see and worship God very diligently, should make friendships with the devotees, should give mercy to the innocent, and should avoid the envious. So in any circumstance, if one is, for instance, in a family where there are, people are maybe not devotees, you are a devotee, they're not devotees, but they're innocent and they're open, you give as much mercy as possible. And in a situation, if they're envious, then we should avoid as much as possible. So there's that applies in all certain kinds of circumstances. And if we do that, it's not that we're being selfish because we feel more natural around the devotees whose hearts are completely open to service. It's just the nature of the circumstance that we're in when people are not as open to accepting our service, or maybe they're not open to devotional service. So we have to examine our purpose. This is my main point. We have to understand our main purpose. And if our purpose is to do the best we possibly can to serve the devotees and to serve Krishna in the way that he's asked us to serve, then in any circumstance we'll be acting properly and we'll be enthusiastic. It's our motive that comes into play. We should be ahaitukiya pratiyata, which means our devotional service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. That means that in all circumstances we can perform devotional service. It doesn't mean that I have to be in a certain place to perform devotional service or circumstance, although it's helpful, especially in the beginning. it will go on no matter where I am. I mean, Prahlad Maharaj was in a situation where his father was trying to get him to stop doing devotional service and even tortured him. And Prahlad's goodwill prevailed because he wanted so, you know, he was a pure devotee. And even after Lord Nrsingadev asked him to take a benediction, which he didn't want to do, finally he said, benefit my father. And Nrsingadev said he already is benefited. So partly if you can't associate with your parents because they're envious, if you go on and you become a pure devotee, then they'll automatically become benefited by your association.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So it's 9:10, and maybe this is a good time to wrap it up. I thank you very much for taking your Sunday morning to we can sit together and talk about Krishna, Krishna's devotees. We've just scratched the surface of the of this topic. And this, by the way, I think is the fifth of our talks, or maybe it's the sixth. And in any case, we've covered the five aspects of devotional service, which are marked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being the most potent and effective out of the 64, concluding today with association with devotees. That's why this theme today. And I owe you the notes from three or four of the classes, so I'm sorry I'm a little bit behind on that, but I've actually almost got them ready to go. So I will send those out soon so that they can go along with the class. And any last comments, Loka?
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for taking time out today. You're a very busy morning and still you took out the time, so really grateful for that.
Okay, well, please pray for me. I got 30 kids coming over this morning. I somehow find spots for them all and to take them out on Sankirtan today. I wish you were here.
Yeah, we wish to.
Next month, we'll be there, hopefully.
Pardon me?
Yeah, next week, next month we'll be there.
Yes, next month you will be there. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, everybody. Please accept my obeisances. Vancha kalpa durvishya kripa sindhaveva cha patitanam bhavani vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Go premanande.